Hey everybody, today is Wednesday, March 20th, and it is a new episode of the Sportsbook Sharps. As always, I am your host, Andy, and I have a packed March Madness episode for you. It's Wednesday. Your brackets are due by like 11 tomorrow morning, Eastern, 11 Eastern, and I have some tips and some gambling bets for you to make as well on this week's episode. It's a national holiday. I'm off Thursday. I'm off Friday. 4-day weekend of nothing but pure basketball, and I cannot be more excited. The bracket's out. I'm holding it in my hands. I put ink to paper this year. I went back and did old school pen to paper, and I am ready to win the brackets this year and win all my March Madness bets. It is time. I've taken a bit of a bath the last couple of days here with the conference tournaments. Boy, those were wild. I could not pick anything right. The first couple of days, everything was falling in place. The last 2 days, everything went against me. So it is time to turn it around. And what better way than by going old school with a little ink under my fingers here, filling out the bracket. So I'm going to trust in the process. And got a couple of things to cover with you. What a bracket we have here. Just a wild conference championship week to lead to this. There were coaches that were almost fired, like NC State's head coach that went on a run, winning 6 games in a row to get into March Madness by winning the ACC championship. I think they were the 11 seed in the ACC. I don't know. They weren't even close to the bubble. Like, the bubble was 10 counties over. That's how far the bubble was for them. There was no way they were getting in unless they won the ACC championship, and they went on an incredible run and beat UNC Saturday night in that championship game. The crazy thing is that guy almost fired. Like I said, the head coach, I can't remember his name now. I didn't jot it down. Anyway, by getting into the NCAA tournament, it launched a 2-year contract extension. So not only can they not fire him without that extension now and having to pay it out, he's on the hook for another 2 years at the university. So what a crazy one. And then I think it's the Big West. Long Beach State won that one. And that head coach was fired on Monday. And they said, we're firing you, but we're going to let you coach out the conference tournament, which why you did that? I have no idea. But anyway, they allowed Long Beach State to coach through it, and he makes the tournament. He wins. That's a one bid conference. He wins it, and he goes to March Madness as a fired coach. What a bizarre thing to happen. Got some stats here for you. Of the 32 conference championships, only 11 number one seeds won. That's one of the lowest ever. A lot of times there may be an upset, you know, in some of these lesser known conferences, smaller conferences, where there's always the argument, should the regular season get the automatic bid or the conference tournament, because they blow everybody else out in the conference, win it by 4 or 5 games, and then they get into this tournament and get upset in the championship game. This year, the one seeds weren't even making the championship game. The A-10, every single high seed got knocked out early. UD, Loyola Chicago, St. Bonaventure's, all these teams. I mean, some of the conference brackets were just crazy. So only 11 of the one seeds. So some of these automatic qualifiers, we have some of the worst 15 and 16 seeds we've ever had. I was looking at some of those games trying to come up with a lock, because a lot of times the one seeds, the two seeds, they're, 18, 20, 25 point favorites. Like Houston's a 25 point favorite. And I really wanted to take the other team, but I looked into it. In the Houston game, they're playing Longwood. 25.5 point favorite, Houston is. They don't score a lot. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's a good one to bet. Longwood finished 5th in their conference. Now, I don't even remember what the heck the name of the conference is that they're in. You're going to tell me I'm going to lay money on Friday on a team that finished 5th in one of these conferences that only ever sends one ever? Absolutely not. I want to put the money on them when they send their best team. So be very careful betting them when you see those lopsided, 25, 20 point spreads. It's because these one seeds and two seeds are playing some really, really bad teams that won their conference tournament and haven't played well all year. So just keep that in mind. Be very careful when you're making your bets this year for March Madness on the spreads. And be careful picking your bracket, because I don't know if we're going to see as many upsets as everybody thinks. We'll see. I have quite a few in my bracket. I think it's going to be impossible to pick your bracket this year. You're going to lose a Final Four in the first day or two. That's a guarantee. It's just, this year has been crazy. You can look at it all you want and change your picks all you want. You're never going to get a perfect bracket this year. It's impossible. There's so many teams that can be upset. It's going to be wild. Let's talk a little bit about the bracket while we're at it. The committee that fills this bracket out, this has to be one of the worst committees we've ever had. Some of these teams that got in, you saw it when Tuesday night, if you were watching True TV, did you find True TV on your channel yet? This is your alert. If you haven't looked for it yet, make sure you find it. Get it ready for March Madness, because that's about the only time of the year you're on True TV for sports, especially. Anyway, Virginia got into the tournament as a play-in game. Absolutely terrible. They beat nobody this year. They're horrible. They're horrible to watch. If you watched any ACC this year, they were just absolutely dreadful. They got in over Indiana State. Indiana State has a net. So the net is the made-up ranking that the NCAA has come up with to kind of justify how they put teams in. So it's the NCAA's own ranking system. Indiana State had a net of 29. So they're saying they're the 29th best school. They were left out of the tournament. UVA gets in. Halftime last night, the score that UVA put up was 14 points. 14. They got to 40, I forget what it was, 42, 44, something like that. That was their final score. But the first half, they only scored 14 points. And Colorado State, that they played, wasn't much better. Colorado State, 27-14 was the halftime score. I feel so bad for everybody at UD Arena that went to that game. I had a bunch of family at that game last night. I was messaging them in our gambling group. Like, I couldn't believe it. They said it was one of the worst things ever. My Uncle Mike, friend of the podcast, frequent guest on the podcast, said that they scored their 14th point with like 9:50 left to go in the first half, and they didn't score again for the next 10 minutes. Unbelievable. Just terrible. Another team that got in, Michigan State. So watch it when you're picking your bracket. Michigan State's the 9 seed. They got matched up against 8 Mississippi State. Be careful. Michigan State, I think, is one of those teams that got in that maybe should have been more on the bubble, should have been in a play-in game, or shouldn't have even been invited in. They did not do well in the Big Ten this year. They are 3-10 against teams in the tournament, and they only had 3 quad one wins. One of those quad one wins was against Indiana State, who they decided wasn't good enough to make the tournament. So you put Michigan State in, and you count like the they asked the one committee member after, like, how they decided Michigan State got that. They said, oh, they had 3 quad one wins. Well, okay, but one of those quad one wins is against a team not in the tournament. So it's either Indiana State isn't good enough to make the tournament, or they're a quad one win and should be counted as such. I don't know. It was one of the worst bubbles ever. And again, it goes back partly to the conference tournaments. Like I said, only 11 of the one seeds won. So there were a ton of bid stealers. You know, that's 21 other schools that took a bid that they may not have been a bubble school. They may not have been a school that was in. Just absolutely terrible. And some of the seeding in here, the Big East only getting 3 teams in. I thought the Big East was way better than that. They should have some of those bubble teams like St. John's. Well, I don't know about so much St. John's. I mean, their coach kind of quit on them in the middle of the season. Patino did. Providence, Seton Hall, one of those schools should have been in instead of, you know, the 8th or 9th school from the Big 12 and the 6th school from the Big 10. I cannot believe it. And watch out. So we're going to get into the 12, 13s in a little bit here, but watch out for one of the 5s. Wisconsin. Look, I've been down on Wisconsin for weeks now. They lost 8 of 11 in the regular season. To end the season, they lost 8 of 11, and they got a 5 seed. This is one of those classic teams that's ripe for the 12 upsetting the 5. They play James Madison University. I can't believe Wisconsin got a 5 seed. You're telling me that means Wisconsin's one of the 20 best schools in all the land? Now, I get it. They made a run in the Big Ten tournament. They got to the championship game, but they were the 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament. So you're telling me the 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament gets a 5 seed in the 64-team tournament? It makes no sense. They are way worse than a 5 seed. They're 5.5-point favorites, too. So you definitely need to take JMU plus 5.5. I would even put the money line, and I'm going to get into it a little bit on the 12-13s. Let's just get into it right now. So there's a system I found out there, the 12-13 system. It says if in the last 15 tournaments, if you bet every 12 and 13 seed against the spread and money line, so that'd be, you know, 2 bets for each seed, so 8 bets total, you are making money. Now, that's over the last 15 years. So these 12 and 13s against the spread, they are 70 and 50. So if you bet the same amount each one, a unit, if you bet a unit on each bet in those 120 games, you're looking at being up 15 units on the thing. And if you just bet them straight up money line, because they're getting so much extra money being a 13 seed, being a 12 seed when they upset it, they are 38 and 82 on the money line. But again, because of the odds that you get, if you bet every single one of them over the last 15 years, you're actually up 14.4 units on the money line. So just when you're betting Thursday, when you're betting Friday, don't think anything of it. Just look at all the 12 and 13s, take the 12 and 13 against the spread. You'll be getting lots of points, and then take a money line straight up to win. So even if you only win one or two of those 12 or 13s, you're still going to about break even with the odds. You win two or three of them, you're going to be making money. That is the system this year that we're using. Every 12 and 13, we're betting against the spread, and we're betting money line for them to win. Let's talk some of these games in the bracket. I was so excited to fill this bracket out. I'm going to run through my Elite Eight for you and then my Final Four so you can look at it. Again, I'm probably not right. This has been a wild, crazy year. There will be upsets that nobody sees coming. There'll be one seeds and two seeds that make it look like it should have been a chalk walk. Like, you're going to look at your bracket and you're going to say, "How, duh, you know, Marquette was a 2 seed. How did I not have them in the Elite Eight?" Well, because you looked at the bracket and you saw Florida, you saw Colorado, you saw UK sitting there, you saw a very hot NC State in that part of the bracket. I mean, you're just looking at it, and as a bracket filler outer, you're just like, I got to pick an upset here, whatever. So, you know, fill it out, follow your heart. You've been watching college basketball all year. You know what to do. This might be a great year for those people that pick based on the team mascots or the color or whatever. It's going to be just an absolutely crazy March Madness, and I cannot wait for it all to tip off tomorrow at noon. But I'm going to start in the East, top left corner of your bracket. I'm going to run through my Elite Eight for you so you give an idea kind of how I'm picking. I am up on the year on college basketball. So even though I've done terrible in the conference tournaments, regular season, I was a big time winner, and I'm ready to be a big time winner in March Madness for you. So starting top left, I'm very boring, chalky. I got the 1 and the 2. I got Utah. Oh my, I don't have Utah. They're not even in. I have UConn and Iowa State. That's a 1-2. There's nobody. This is a tough bracket to pick, but UConn's been one of the best teams in the entire season. I mean, they've been consistent. I thought the Big East was pretty good this year, even though they only sent 3 teams, and UConn just steamrolled through that conference. UConn is a great team. They only have 3 losses all year. They're the only 1 seed. Purdue, Houston, and UNC did not win their conference tournaments. Houston got blown out in their championship against ISU. ISU is a very good team this year. I just like them both. I know it's chalky. I know I just talked to you about how many upsets there's going to be, but I'm very boring there. I got UConn, ISU, and then I have UConn going to the Final Four. Bottom left, West Region. Now we start to get rid of some of that chalk. Maybe I watched too many late night games this year. I don't know. My Elite Eight, I have St. Mary's and Arizona. I don't like the Arizona pick. I just don't like anything else down there. So I went kind of safe with Arizona. But that is very much one. The Pac-12, I don't think, is very good at all this year. So Arizona losing early would not surprise me at all. But when I looked at it, I didn't know who to pick. I don't like any of the seeds there. I don't like Clemson at 6. I don't like UD at 7. It's very tough part of the bracket for me to pick. I really struggled with it. I have New Mexico going to the Sweet 16 just because I don't like any of the teams down there. Clemson, I don't think Clemson was very good this year as a 6 seed. And then St. Mary's, I don't know. I watched a lot of the conference this year. I watched San Francisco. I watched St. Mary's. I watched Gonzaga a lot. They were on late. They always tip off very late. Maybe I just am too biased and watch too much St. Mary's, but I got them in the Elite Eight, St. Mary's and Arizona. Now we're going to go top right. Again, no chalk here. Well, half chalk, I guess. I do have Marquette going to 2 seed, but I have Nebraska. And look, I may not be right, but Houston got so blown out by ISU. I think Nebraska could make a deep run here against Houston. If they get a couple of their shots to fall, we saw it. Nebraska made it all the way to the Big Ten championship game. They lost to Illinois. No, they didn't. Scratch that. They made the semifinals, but they had everything falling for them. If they get hot against Houston, it's a race to 55 in that Houston game. If Nebraska can get hot and hit a bunch of the threes early, Houston plays so slow. They try to clamp you down on defense. If they can get a couple of those threes to fall early and get the confidence going, I think Nebraska could upset them early in the bracket. You saw it against the Iowa State in the championship game. Houston got down, and they are not a team that can play from behind. Houston, I'd love to see. I should have checked what they were against the spread this year. I feel like they had a very bad record against the spread. They clamp you down on defense. They get you to turn the ball over, and then they score after they take the air out of the ball. So they don't even score in transition. They dribble it out. 25 seconds later, they get a bucket, a layup, whatever. They are a very slow-paced team, and that can spell disaster in the March Madness bracket when you're filling it out. A slow-paced team is not a great thing to have. And then Marquette, again, I think the Big East is better than the committee thought. I know they're a 2 seed, but I don't like that part of the bracket. I don't think UK's very good down there. I don't think Florida's very good as the 10 seed. I don't even have them winning it. Or as the 7 seed, I have the 10 seed upsetting them in the first round. Texas Tech, I'm not a believer in the Big 12, so obviously I'm not. I picked Houston to go out early, so I just don't like it. And then in the bottom right, I have Purdue and Creighton. A little chalky. That's a 3 and a 1. Obviously, Purdue. Duh. I'm a Purdue fan. I'm not going to pick against them. Anytime Purdue gets a 1 seed, I'm just going to pick them to win the bracket. So keep in mind, I'm incredibly biased with Purdue. So, you know, if you want to pick them to lose, pick them to lose early. Whatever. You pick them to win against the 16 seed there this year. They are not doing that again. I know they did it. And keep in mind, only one other school's ever lost to a 16 seed. And what happened the next year? They won the entire thing. So UVA did it, and now it's Purdue's turn. Purdue last year, you know, it was horrible. They lost to the 16 seed, FDU. Everybody made the jokes all year. They fought. They only lost 4 games all year. They got that 1 seed again, and they're back in the tournament as a 1 seed. And I think they rip it all the way. A lot of people on TV, a lot of people in the gambling group have said Purdue got the easiest of the brackets. They didn't get the number one overall seed, but everybody's saying that their bracket is one of the easiest ones. The five seed Gonzaga didn't have a great year for Gonzaga. Two seed Tennessee, people don't like. They really only have Dalton Connect. Outside of that, if they shut Connect down, then it's over for them. Or if he can't connect on threes, then Connect's out. People don't like Creighton. I actually like Creighton, but again, I'm a Big East homer. Apparently this year I have all three of the schools that made it from the Big East in the Elite Eight. Ooh, I'm just now noticing that. Maybe that wasn't so great. But anyway, that's it. And then my Final Four is pretty boring. It's a one seed, a two seed, a two seed, and a one seed. I got UConn, Arizona, and then I got UConn moving on to the championship, Marquette and Purdue. I got Purdue moving on, and then I got Purdue winning the whole thing. Of course, duh. I'm a huge Purdue fan. We went and saw them play when they were in the state of Ohio. Of course, I'm going to pick Purdue to win. Duh. They're a one seed. So that's my bracket this year. Take it with a grain of salt. Like I said, there's going to be so many upsets. There's going to be ones that I saw coming. There's going to be ones that I didn't see coming. I'll get to my locks here, and then we'll wrap it up for the March Madness edition. I'm going to give you two locks, one on Thursday and one on Friday. Thursday, Tennessee, two seed, St. Peter's, 15 seed, St. Peter's, plus 21.5. And here's the stat to go with it. Tennessee's head coach Rick Barnes is 9-21 against the spread since 2005. When he was with Texas, they were always a team that underperformed. Now that he's at Tennessee, it's Tennessee's turn to underperform in the tournament. 9-21 against the spread is horrible. 21.5 points is a ton. Like I said, this is going to be a wild one. All the time when I was looking and seeing all these 20-point spreads, I'm like, I got to take the opposite. It's going to be crazy. And this is one that other numbers back it up. You know, Rick Barnes, 9-21 against the spread. You got to lock that up. So St. Peter's Thursday, plus 21.5. That's your Thursday lock. Boy, I had two that I really loved on Friday. But I'm going to skip over the one. I told you to already bet the 12 and 13s, and this was a 12-5 matchup. I loved JMU, James Madison, over Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is incredibly overrated, but I already told you to bet that. So I'm going to give you another one, 8-9, usually a very competitive game. Friday night, Utah State plus 4.5. I love that one. Yeah, in my bracket, I was trying to find, where's the 8-9 matchup? I can't find it on the bracket. I actually had Utah State winning it against TCU. Again, not a believer in the Big 12. So I'm going to sprinkle a little money line on Utah State. I picked it in my bracket, Utah State. I picked the 8, but I'm a believer in the Mountain West this year. I think they're pretty decent. They got six teams in. Utah State, they won the Mountain West. They didn't win the tournament, but they won the Mountain West. I think they got seeded as an 8 seed. They should have been much better than an 8 seed. So I'm taking them plus 5.5 against TCU. Again, not a believer in the Big 12. So TCU, I don't think you could, even if TCU ends up winning the game, I don't think they win by 6 or more. So take Utah State plus 5.5. That's a lot of points for an 8-9 game. You look at some of the other 8-9 games, it's 1-2 point spreads. The 8-9s are usually very matched up. I think people are discounting the Mountain West this year. So that's my lock. So again, St. Peter's on Thursday plus 21.5. Utah State on Friday plus 4.5. That's going to do it for the March Madness show. We will be back next week to talk Sweet 16. Thanks, everyone, and good luck in the game.